You're listening to Episode 4 with Alex Elche of the Modern Actor Podcast. Hi there. Thanks for tuning back into the Modern Actor Podcast, the show where I take a glimpse into the journeys of rising artists. I'm your host and creator of the Modern Actor, Eddie Ramos. For those of you tuning back in, welcome back. And for those of you listening for the first time, the Modern Actor Podcast is my way of connecting to working actors and actresses at that point in their careers where they aren't household names just yet, but are well on the way. And on that journey, have learned valuable lessons about what it takes to stay driven, inspired, and creative in today's industry. Today I'm joined by actor, director, writer, and friend, Alex Elche. He shares with us his journey from New York to Los Angeles and the story behind the creation of the first West Coast Syracuse University Alumni Showcase. One common trait among successful actors is a sense of vision, spotting a need and responding without hesitation to address it, even when that means taking a risk. Alex Elche is a prime example. As an actor who spent $1,000 on an agent showcase, he had long struggled with feeling like he was actually showcasing his real self, and what he saw was a lack of authenticity in the market. But what he realized through talking to other artist friends was that the problem was much bigger than his own. So he started working on the idea of creating a showcase for actors by actors. So I wanted to showcase the real parts of people, the real me, Alex tells the Modern Actor. Despite feeling in over his head a couple of times along the way, Alex stuck with his vision and enlisted the help of his co-producer, Marianne Pianca. Together, they produced 11 scenes, 6 filmed and 5 live on stage. Alex's showcase successfully partnered agents and managers with this burgeoning group of thespians. Now approaching 7 years in the business, he has used the showcase experience as a springboard to confidence as he pursues more directorial endeavors as well as continues to hone his acting craft on TV and film sets in LA. Alex's self-starter, collaborative, and visionary qualities have added up to a versatile body of work, all in the face of serious business and personal hurdles. Interviewing Alex Elche is a huge triumph for me, as he embodies the essence of a modern actor today. In this episode, you'll learn why Alex Elche was one of the reasons why I created the Modern Actor, how his absurdly high falsetto helped him find his passion for acting, what his experience in New York taught him about facing his own fears, and the silver lining in his apartment burning down. Don't worry, no one was hurt. We discuss the differences between being an actor in New York and LA, and how he decided to create, direct, and act in the first West Coast Syracuse University Alumni Showcase within his first year in Los Angeles. Why Alex never wanted to go to film school, but just wanted to do it, and what directing has taught him about his own acting. So thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy my talk with Alex Elche. Hey guys, I want to take a moment to tell you about our sponsor, Talent Boom. If you're a working actor in today's world, then you know how many services you need to sign up for to get a job. Actors Access, Casting Frontier, LA Casting, not to mention your own social media pages, IMDb, the list goes on and on. It's hard to remember all those username and passwords and update all these pages every time you book. And I don't know about you, but I can't stand the boring look of some of these dinosaur websites for actors. Talent Boom has created a solution to solve your problem. I love their clean and fresh website. It conveniently hosts all my acting links, demo reels, resume, my headshots, all on my Talent Boom homepage. It's like LinkedIn and Facebook just for actors. And did I mention that it's so easy to set up your page and start connecting with other filmmakers around your area? I love how it took me less than 10 minutes to set up my page and link my existing accounts, like my YouTube channel and WeRehearse. This really is the way it's gotta be. That's why I want to hook you up with this amazing product. So Talent Boom is giving our listeners 20% off your purchase. So go to talentboom.com and use our code MODERNACTOR20 at checkout. That is talentboom.com, code MODERNACTOR20. I don't think anyone out there listening to this knows this, but Alex was one of the big reasons why I decided to create the Modern Actor. I don't even think you know that. Yeah.
Wow.
The Modern Actor came about from this project that Alex, he directed, he co-produced, co-created the first SU alumni, so Syracuse University Alumni Showcase, half live, half film scenes. And I was able to be an actor in one of the scenes for the showcase. And watching Alex do his thing, kind of like a fly on the wall, I mean, it was an elaborate project. To me, it seemed like the most daunting thing in the world. He also had help from another friend of ours from Syracuse also. But it really inspired me. And I had to ask him about the whole process. And I knew I needed to pick his brain, but I couldn't just pick up the phone or take the guy out for a drink. I had to set up this elaborate three-camera setup just to ask him how that went down and talk to him. So, you know, this is definitely for you guys listening out there, but for the most part, it's my own selfish thing. It's for my benefit because
this
I am
is for
just...
us.
Yeah, this is just for us. Yeah. I'm super curious to know how it all went down, you know what I mean? Everything from directing that and sort of your journey from where you started to where we are now. So without further ado, guys, Alex Alche.
Woo.
Woo.
Let's do it.
And I will probably go back and forth calling him Alex and Alche. He goes by many, many names.
Many a nickname.
Alche, his last name, goes by the cheese meister. So if I break in and out of that, you just bear with me, guys. Mm-hmm. All right. So I want to start this interview by asking you a question that I ask all my guests.
Yeah, man.
When did you start acting? And what made you decide to pursue it as a career?
Yeah, I actually got into it later than a lot of... I mean, I started at 14. I did my first musical in high school. But I would, like, watch my cousin act when I was younger, and she was always like, you're going to do this. Mm. You're going to do this. And I was always like, I am? And then I did, and that freshman year of high school, I had, like, a ridiculous chorus part. Just, I have an absurdly high falsetto, so I think you know that.
I do.
And... And so I had, like, just one, like, we won't have to talk, and that was it. And I
you
was
knew
like,
you were Hollywood.
And I was like, this is
that.
Amazing. But then I started dating this girl in high school who luckily had been acting forever, and she sort of introduced me to an acting teacher, and really without her, like, she kind of gave me the real bug of, like, this is, like, I believe in you.
Yeah.
You're capable of more than just that one falsetto thing. So... yeah, I started taking acting classes with this woman, Flo, in this, like, 95-year-old woman, Flo. And I was like, I got to do this. I have to. This is the most amazing thing in the world. And
so that was in high school. And then senior year, you decided, like, you told your parents, like, listen, I'm going to go to acting school and, like, get a BFA and all that?
Yeah. At the end of junior year was when I was like, right. I want to do this.
Right.
And my mom was like, are you sure you don't want to just be a lawyer and then act in community theater? And I was like, no, absolutely not. And then I auditioned for a bunch of schools and chose Syracuse.
Yeah.
It's kind of been the flow ever since.
Nice. And then so you, I know you were in New York for a while, right?
Like, yeah.
You graduated Syracuse when? I'm going to age you a little bit, but when did you graduate Cuse?
2011.
2011. No, you're fine.
Not that long.
2011, you graduated, and then, so how many times? How much
so
time
I was there
work?
For 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I was there for 3 years, three and a half around, and struggling, man. I mean, New York really kicked my ass. Am I allowed to curse?
Yeah, oh yeah. It's explicit.
Fucking kicked my ass. No.
This ain't for kids. Yeah.
It really kicked my ass.
Yeah.
When you get out of school, the first thing you want to do is you're like, yeah, this is going to be great. And right. there was a showcase in for seniors mm-hmm. then, and I was in the showcase, and I thought I was just going to hit the ground running. I thought my scenes were killer. I had casting directors and agents coming up to me being like, you were so great. Oh, my God, fantastic. And I was like, oh, this is going to be the easiest thing ever. Acting's easy. This career's a joke. Not a single meeting from that showcase.
Yeah.
And then I kind of had to start from square one while watching, like, friends succeed very early, right. while watching, you know, friends be on Broadway right. and 6 months out of school, and it was tough,
yeah.
and that kind of got the best of me rather than using my creativity to do what I now do.
Right.
So New York was kind of the trials and tribulations of everything, and then I mean the kicker was also my apartment went on fire.
What?
And yeah, it burned down like 6 months before moving here, but. All my stuff was fine. I'm fine. Everyone was fine. Everyone's safe. But then I didn't have to pay rent for like 6 months. And so I was able to save up enough money.
Wow.
And came out and and now I'm here.
So that is how you save for a trip to LA.
Yeah, yeah. Just burn down your house.
Your house on fire. Yeah, exactly. We're not and telling you that. Yeah, exactly. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So, all right, really quickly, if you could give me, so then you came to LA after the 6 months of free rent. So now we're in what, like 2013? Did you come out here?
2014.
Sorry, 2014. So you, okay, let's talk about just some of the major differences, like three differences between working in New York and now what you feel in LA.
Yeah, so, I mean, New York's a theater town predominantly. I mean, it's definitely grown exponentially in terms of TV and film. But I didn't know how to get in TV and film there. But I think theater-wise, like, everyone is going to EPAs, everyone is doing this. And I honestly think, like, let's be real, there's better actors in New York. Overall, everyone is a trained actor in New York, and not everyone is an actor in New York.
Right.
So the pool is smaller, and I think a little more cutthroat.
Yeah, good, yeah, right.
And I think in LA, everyone's an actor.
Sure.
So it's harder to get in rooms, but if you have training, if you're talented, it's going to win out eventually.
Easier to stand out.
Exactly.
The crowd,
whereas, like, if you're good in New York, it's still
get
tough because everyone's good in New York.
Got you. And then do you want to talk a little bit about just kind of the daily grind of a day in New York as opposed to LA? What do you think?
I mean, whew, the daily grind. I mean, whether it's winter or summer in New York, it's either freezing or 9,000 degrees.
Right.
And I mean, rent in New York is just difficult. The quality of life is just tough.
Yeah.
And I miss New York. I'm a New Yorker, you know. I miss New York so much.
Yeah.
But I don't think, I think it's easier to struggle in LA than it is to struggle in New York.
Gotcha.
It's just brutal. And I worked two restaurant jobs during that time and still struggling to pay rent.
Right. I mean, I was talking to a New York actor, Dario, our friend of ours.
Yeah.
And he kind of said, like, the weather and the, like, the train and all that adds to his grind. I mean, Dario's from Irvine, California, so maybe he enjoyed this, what we didn't enjoy all his life growing up, so he needed that kick or something.
Yeah.
But did you feel that that's what it is as opposed to just being in your car in LA?
Yeah,
or
I mean,
like,
it's a double-edged sword, I think. I think, you know, the energy of New York is so intoxicating and can either propel you or really deter you from doing what you need to do. And I think for me, it really sort of hurt me more than helped because I was watching everyone like going to work and doing their thing and people running to auditions and doing this and doing that. And if I didn't have an audition that day, you really saw it and felt it more than like I'm on a mountain or I'm at the beach or I'm in a bad mood. Right. So I'm going to go like for a long drive to Santa Barbara because you can do that here.
LA definitely offers that escape from the industry, even though it's all around us. Even this is like, this is Hollywood. I mean, no matter where, what corner you turn on, you're seeing somebody do filming or some ads or whatever, a friend on a billboard. But I agree. Like,
but you can very much choose to engage or not. Whereas in New York, you either are stuck in
your energy.
You're either in your apartment or you are around everybody.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. All right. So let's fast forward. So you come to LA 2014 and within a year, and that was also one of the reasons why I was so impressed and like just man, taken aback by what you did, because within a year you decided to take on this mega project.
I had this idea. I came here and I did like a really, I paid like $1,000 to do a showcase in front of like 10 agents and 10 casting directors, and that's how I got my first manager and commercial agent, and it wasn't really working out great for me, and I was like, fuck, I really thought that I, like, figured it out. I thought that, you know, being in a new place and having these new people were going to help, and it didn't because it wasn't the right people for me.
Right.
So I wanted to showcase the real parts of people, the real me, because most showcases are just, like, stock scenes or overdone scenes.
Right.
And so I had this idea for a all-original material, all-Syracuse alumni showcase, half live and half filmed. So I was like, all right, how the hell do I do this? And
was there a moment that, like, when was the inception of that idea? Like, were you, I mean, it was after your showcase, but after that, like, after spending the $1,000, were you just like, I'm not feeling,
you know,
like,
I think I had the idea when I was in New York.
Oh, okay, wow.
And I was just kind of afraid to do it there.
Yeah.
I was afraid to really bring anything to fruition there for some reason. Mm-hmm. Other than fear, I really can't explain as to why. And then I came here and I was like, new day, fresh start. I'm going to bring my ideas to life. And my girlfriend at the time was like, do it. Yeah. You have to do it.
Yeah.
And then I kind of put out a message on Facebook because I had no idea how well. Actually, the first thing I did, was I sent an email to Ralph Zito, who's the head of the Syracuse University Drama Department. I was like, hey, I have this idea. He's like, it's an amazing idea. Why don't you write a proposal to the dean and see if we can help fund it? Because I knew that if I didn't have, like, produced in association with Syracuse University on it, it wasn't going to be as legit.
Gotcha.
So that all worked out. They luckily funded half of the showcase. And then I had auditions and required every actor who was in it to raise $200 each, which was pretty easy.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, now how do I put all this together?
Yeah.
How do I get these live scenes? How do I get the writers involved? So I kind of put out a Facebook message to one of the Syracuse groups and was like, hey, anybody who wants to be a writer on the showcase? And Marianne, who was my co-producer on it, sent me a message and was like, I want to help you do this.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to need all the help I can get.
Right.
Great. And it was like such a weird marriage because we just like butt heads, but we also really mesh so well together. I could not have done it without her.
One of the things I was impressed with also just being on set was like the fluidity between you guys, like whether she was like taking kind of the helm for a second and you were kind of taking me to the side or whatever. Like,
yeah.
The machine was working. I mean, what I witnessed from my own scene, like the writing was there, the directing, Marianne's hand and everything. Like, again, like we do so many projects where, you know, something's kind of not there,
sure.
You know what I mean? But like, I feel like all the parts were in place for this project. And
well, I appreciate it. I mean, we spent like 3 months developing the scenes with you guys and bringing the writers in and saying, this is how we want to showcase you. What do you think?
Right.
And then sort of like, what about this character? What about if this situation was the case? And then the writers would go and we would develop the scenes that way. And because we rehearsed so much, kind of like a play, we shot, which I'll never do again, we shot 28 pages in a day, which was insane. And like we were behind too. And the first scene was behind and then we caught up throughout the day. But it was like the most insane day of my life. I was bleeding at one point. I was like all over the place just doing crazy
If you don't
shit.
Shed blood for your project, you're not doing it right. Get me a knife really quick.
That's what I say.
Hey guys, I want to take a moment to tell you about our sponsor, Talent Boom. If you're a working actor in today's world, then you know how many services you need to sign up for to get a job. Actors Access, Casting Frontier, LA Casting, not to mention your own social media pages, IMDb, the list goes on and on. It's hard to remember all those username and passwords and update all these pages every time you book. And I don't know about you, but I can't stand the boring look of some of these dinosaur websites for actors. Talent Boom has created a solution to solve your problem. I love their clean and fresh website. It conveniently hosts all my acting links, demo reels, resume, my headshots, all on my Talent Boom homepage. It's like LinkedIn and Facebook just for actors. And did I mention that it's so easy to set up your page and start connecting with other filmmakers around your area? I love how it took me less than 10 minutes to set up my page and link my existing accounts, like my YouTube channel and WeRehearse. This really is the way it's gotta be. That's why I want to hook you up with this amazing product. So Talent Boom is giving our listeners 20% off your purchase. So go to talentboom.com and use our code modernactor20 at checkout. That is talentboom.com, code modernactor20.
But you know what? I didn't notice that. I mean, I maybe it was because you were behind the camera for my scene. Obviously, I was working.
Yeah.
I was working with Marianne in our scene.
Right.
But I felt that you were cool, calm, and collected, and it made me think. Like, and I couldn't remember off the top of my head, but had you directed anything before?
It's interesting because I had never really directed for camera before.
Mm-hmm.
I had done a bunch of theater stuff in college, and then a little bit post, and I just always kind of wanted to and sort of understood it. I don't really know how or why. I mean, I was always very analytical, so I always knew how to direct actors, and then like kind of directing for the camera was something I was gonna sort of just learn.
Right.
And you know, luckily we had a great DP, and
right.
he was super helpful, and every scene kind of had a different feel and take to it, which is really cool. And it was very guerrilla. So we were able to be like, this isn't working. Let's change. Remember, I mean, we found that we found a shot in your scene that was like probably my favorite shot in the whole thing. And we wouldn't have been able to do that. We were like, all right, it's just going to be a multicam kind of setup.
Right,
we really tried to make it our own. And yeah, I think we accomplished that.
Absolutely. And did you have like a certain approach in your head stylistically that you were going for the look? I mean, I know you're talking about like these raw emotions and you talked about the guerrilla style. Were there any like influences from other directors that you were kind of watching?
Yeah, I mean, so for certain, like certain scenes were a little more, I had like a romantic sort of breakup and then I had sort of a romantic comedy and then I had sort of a sister bonding and then I had your scene, which was kind of like a fighter fighting to get out of his like, get out of the element people are trying to put him into.
Sure, right.
So yours, I wanted to be very handheld, which was, it's kind of remind a little bit like a Fight Club kind of vibe to it. Really tight shots. And then other scenes I really wanted to let it breathe. And like my friends, Chelsea, and our friends, Chelsea and Tony had a scene where it was like a very soft, genuine breakup. So it would start slow. Like Mark Duplass kind of starts like from the outside and slowly you'll find that his scenes will work its way in as it gets to its climax. And that's kind of where we kind of built. And so that's, you know, I kind of like steal from everyone. As Scorsese says, like artists steal.
That's right.
I've read like a couple books. I've watched a billion movies and kind of just have learned by doing.
Right.
And I'm going to keep making mistakes and I'm going to keep fucking up. But I don't think, like, I never wanted to go to film school. I kind of just wanted to do it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I'm at. And then, yeah, that was kind of the showcase. And then it was all, then we geared up again and then wrote all the live scenes. And then I directed all the live scenes. And then we put it all together.
Wow. And then, so to make things even harder for yourself, you also acted in two of the things. So you acted in the live scene and you acted on film too.
Yeah.
I am so curious. And I guess, it took me this long to ask you how that happened.
Yeah.
But how does that go about? I'm curious, like, you know, when you're directing yourself on film, is it a constant bounce back between you and the camera? Is that when your AD steps in?
Well, what was so crazy about this, and I can probably speak more to it in the short I directed, which was way more because I was in it too the whole time and directed it. And wrote it.
This is a recent short.
This is a very recent short. Cool. So we'll talk about that. But with this, like I said, we shot 28 pages in a day after directing all these scenes. I was like, you know what? Let me act in this really hard scene.
I'm ready now. Yeah.
I'm ready. It was crazy. And plus, to top it all off, we only had, I believe, like 8 minutes left on the card.
Mm-hmm.
So we had one take each.
Right.
Of like our coverage, we had very specifically like, all right, this is going to be this, this is going to be that, this is going to be this, and that's all the time we have, or we're going to have to find some way to do it. And we got it all in one take. And, you know, and Marianne was so lucky to have her. She is a really smart actress and smart writer and director in her own right that she was able to be like, I got you.
Yeah.
Let's just set up the shot and I'll let you know if it's shit. I promise I won't lie to you just to get it done. And that scene, like, somehow, I mean, Sal's a great actress who I acted with. She got, that was, like, the scene for her.
Wow.
A manager and an agent and a commercial agent all loved her from this scene. This one scene with one take all around. It was just really, really lucky. And because, like I said, we rehearsed for so long that, like, if we were off book for months, just kind of tweaking and toying and changing words and doing with this. So the characters were ingrained in us. So kind of like, you know, like in Blue Valentine, like they rehearsed for like 2 months and they were so, it was like a play.
Right.
And that's kind of how my approach was with this. It was like, it's the only way we're going to get this done. Well, the actors, there not a single cut was because of an actor. Not a single mistake was because of an actor because they were so ready.
Wow.
And we were really ready and being in front of the camera while also wanting to be behind the camera, I was ready, which was terrifying and amazing.
But it sounds like, you know, that pressure to get that scene done in 8 minutes and be the director, like, it elevated your performance, you know what I mean?
I'm sure
there's something going on in your head where you're like, you know, I'm helming this thing, like, I'm not trying to waste anyone's time either.
I got
to
step up.
Right.
I got to step up.
Right. And you knew you
luckily
had.
I did.
Yeah, exactly. But I wanted to ask you, now that you've worked as a director, how do you think that affects your work when you're an actor on set? Because you just did Dear White People, which is awesome.
Yeah,
you know, and
it's interesting because you kind of see how different directors, I just did Dear White People, which is a sort of very collaborative process, which was is kind of strange for TV. And then I did Nancy Meyers' movie, The Home Again, the Reese Witherspoon movie.
Nice.
Where it's like, this is how you do it. You are not an actor. You are a puppet. And I was like, oh, God. I hope I don't fuck it up, like, the whole time. So you kind of, like, allow the director to have their style. And I think I've become more malleable because I'm like, all right, this is what they want, and I know how to give it to them.
Right.
But if there's really something that I'm upset about or don't really understand as an actor, I'll go up to them and be like, hey, I don't want to, you know, step on your toes. Just curious as to why we're doing this. And rarely do I do that because I want to maintain my job. But I kind of understand the process way more now and how brutal it is. And that an actor is, it's the easiest job in the world, especially when you are watching a set, a huge set where everyone is trying to just make sure it works. Your job is to just say the line correctly and deliver it as well as possible. And the director's job is to make sure that the whole thing comes together beautifully. So that's really, really difficult. So understanding that there's so much to the process has definitely helped me to also relax on set and be like, nobody gives a shit about me. Yeah. That's kind of liberating.
Right.
To be like, I'm going to just have fun and make choices. And if they don't like them, they'll tell me. And if they do, they'll be like, great. And that's it.
And what do you look for in, like, an ideal director? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, just do you want someone kind of directing, like you just said, like someone that'll come up to you and talk to you? Or
personally, I want someone who's going to be super collaborative and tell me what they, you know, who this character is, what they really want. And especially in a film where, like, TV, it's like, you book the role, you know what you're doing.
Right.
So you kind of have to trust yourself. And I think that we got into this because we were originally theater people.
Right.
So I would love to be in a process with a filmmaker who has more of a actor, can talk to actors, can connect with actors, can say in this moment, in this line, in this thing, and pacing, and talk about rhythms, and really get into it collaboratively, as opposed to like, you got it, and then you don't really know.
Right. And do you feel, okay, so now you're working on a short, you just finished it?
I just finished it, and thanks, man. Yeah. I wrote it, directed it, and
started it,
which was insane.
You didn't learn your lesson the first time.
Yeah, I was like, let's make this harder.
I mean, you did so well.
And we shot it all in one day, so really, I didn't learn my lesson at all.
Did you have the same approach in directing the showcase as you did this one? Did you do the rehearsal process? Like, there's just stuff you brought from that and from other directors?
We rehearsed pretty heavily because I knew it was going to be a rough and tumble day.
Right.
We rehearsed pretty heavily, but it also took place in a laundromat, so there was a lot of variables that I couldn't really deal with, which was fascinating.
That makes it fun. Yeah, that's actually
interesting. It was crazy. Yeah. But yeah, we rehearsed, so we were you know, ready to roll. It wasn't like, oh crap, our lines, like, we were off book. Yeah. I think we cut like twice because we fucked up a line.
Nice.
And we had 8 hours to shoot in a laundromat and call it a day. And I had originally 64 shots. And I was like, that's not going to happen. So I cut that down. And that's another learning process of like, you're not going to get everything you want. Right. And the finished product might not be exactly what you thought it was going to be. In fact, it's going to be nowhere near what you thought it was going to be at the beginning. And that was an amazing thing to learn, too. Yeah, I definitely learned from the showcase and took it there. And I definitely will have learned from this and we'll take it further. But acting in front while directing the whole 11-minute short was a huge undertaking that I say I'll never do again, but I'll probably do.
Well, that's awesome. I hope you do, man.
Thanks, man.
So now, where can we find more about the short, you know, what it's called and everything that you're doing now, and people can follow the cheese?
The short is called Annie and Peter. Okay. I just submitted to a bunch of festivals. Hopefully it'll get into a couple. And if not, I'll be releasing it on Vimeo and on YouTube. And then I'll send you a link and
hard
hopefully
copies.
We can send it that way. Yeah. Hard copies, yeah. Just be going TVDs, throughout the city.
Yeah.
I do a ridiculous comedy podcast with
you guys should definitely check out and check out my episode when I was on there with
him.
Yeah.
Yes, it was a great episode.
You can see me on the other side of this.
Yeah, it's called Shooting the Breeze with Chafe and Cheese. You find it on iTunes, you find it on SoundCloud. We have a website called chafeandcheese.com. And follow me on social media at Alche on Instagram, and that's pretty much my jam is Instagram.
So, love it, dude. Yeah. And we'll definitely get you on next time to talk about like podcasting and stuff
for
like
sure.
that.
Like,
we'll
all their beasts.
Right, exactly. But it's a whole another avenue and venue for actors.
Absolutely.
Like, to
and,
showcase
and more than anything, it's been a great way to, it's an outlet.
Yeah.
When you're like,
spend time with the buddy.
What am I doing? Yeah. And then you just creatively get it all out there. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, now that I had you on the show, I'm pretty much going to wrap up The Modern Actor. So, guys, I hope you enjoyed all two episodes before this one. I'm done. That's it. This is the reason I was here.
Woo. I appreciate that.
No,
appreciate
man.
That.
I love this. And thanks so much for being here, brother. Thank you.
It's been a privilege.
It's been a privilege. On that note, I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you like what you've heard and want to stay up to date, please subscribe to the Modern Actor Podcast and leave us a 5-star review if you're feeling generous. Stay hungry, my friend, and I'll see you on the next one.